This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 26 من شهر جمادى الآخرة 1445 الموافق ل 8 من شهر يناير 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك والدواء أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped in this book of الداء والدواء and I believe we are supposed to be dealing with a new مقامات العاشق ثلاثة. So this is a new topic that we'll be dealing with the stages of the عشق. Stages of the عشق. عشق is that strong love that we defined last time with infatuation. Infatuation. So that ishq, it means that love which is not placed in the proper place. Yes. So it has three stages. قال ولا عاشق له ثلاث مقامات مقام ابتداء ومقام توسط ومقام انتهاء. No, it has the beginning. It has a middle level. And also it has the end, the last and the final. قال فأما مقام ابتداء فالواجب. So the beginning is the beginning, right? When the person is in the middle of the عشق or reached the نهاية, the peak of it. قال فأما مقام ابتداء فالواجب عليه مدافعته بكل ما يقدر عليه إذا كان الوصول إلى معشوقه متعذرا قدرا وشرعا فإن أعطى عن ذلك وأبى قلبه إلا السفر إلى محبوبه وعلى مقام التوسط والانتهاء عليه كتمان ذلك. He says, as for the first person who is in the early stage, the first one that is in the early stage, it is wajib upon him to try his best to stop it. مدافعته means to do everything possible to stop it. You get the idea? So he does everything possible to make sure that he stops this type of love. إِذَا كَانَ الْوُصُولُ إِلَيْهِ شَرَعًا قَدَرًا مُتَعَذِّرًا قَدَرًا وَشَرَعًا. Somebody loves who he cannot reach the person, meaning there is no way for somebody like him to get. And also shara'an also is not halal for him to get. These are two different scenarios. One of them is qadaran, you know, what is based on the reality, people like him cannot get this. Right? Yeah, there are circumstances in our community, certain type of people, they cannot be married to certain categories of people. Right? The son of a very poor family is so the daughter of a king, a very tyrant and jabbar king, you know, in a community where usually, actually even in normal circumstances, the poor people cannot marry from the rich. So there are some communities, marriage is based on who you are, your level. Yeah. You might be in the lower class, so you cannot marry from the upper class. Yeah. The upper class, you can marry from anyone, but the lower class cannot go. And these are the ones that Sharia says it's even haram for him to look or think of going to them because the answer is already known, which is rejection, right? Permitted the look by the suitor. But the answer in this regard is haram. I mean, it's wrong, is no. So that means it is haram for him to go and look and have communication with them, because he cannot have it according to the qadr that Allah wanted to decree that people are going to live in this way. Sometimes Sharan is not, it's not mumkin for him to reach that person. Like who? His sister. Or the wife of his father. His father married, and he has interest in that girl, younger than him. And he has interest in that. Is it possible? I know, not possibility in terms of marriage to happen, but is it possible to have this scenario? Yeah. In the past, they used to marry. Allah says, "Wala tankihu ma nakaha aba'ukum." Yeah, they used to marry the wives of their parents. When the father divorced, the son says, "Okay, you don't like it, but I'm okay with that." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna kana fahishatan wa maqtan." Yeah, because usually when a person divorces a wife, if another person married her, it might have some enmity, something in his heart towards that person who married his ex. Why do we get this ex thing, you know? Whenever you want to say something, it's ex-wife, ex-husband, you know? I think the one that is out of their service, right? Yes, you know. No, I know, but I'm just saying, why do we get this ex? that's the hiqd can happen, you know, between two of them. Question: Islamically, is it possible for him to marry the one that used to be with his father? No. You get it? The same goes to the wife of his son. Yeah, the son of his, the wife of his son. Can he marry her? No. Even if he has interest. Is it possible for him to have interest? Yes. You get it? Siblings. Is it possible for them to marry each other? No. That's Sharia to Adam alayhi salam. But in our Sharia, no, it's not. But is it possible for them to have desire towards each other? Yes, it is. That's where you have incest, right? Yeah. Even in the wrong way, what you have. It's always in the wrong way. I mean, in the worst way, father and his daughter, uncle and his niece. You know, you have all of these diseases that exist in our communities. So when somebody finds himself having strong interest towards a woman that Sharan or Qadran, he cannot reach that person. In this case, Ibn Qayyim says, he has to try his best to throw away this. فَإِنْ عَاجَزَ أَنْ ذَلِكَ وَأَبَى إِلَّا السَّفَرَ إِلَى مَحْبُوبِهِ فَهَذَا مَقَامَ التَّوَسُّطَ وَالْإِنْتِهَاء. If let's say he tries his best and nothing works, and he just feels like he has to go to them, you know, and he made a preparation to go. He said, Ibn Qayyim says this is a peak of ishq. Yeah. فَعَلَيْهِ كِتْمَانُ ذَلِكَ. In this case, he has to hide that. Because if the person has ishq, which he couldn't control, towards a sister or a brother, what does he do? He check and see, is it possible for him to go? Yes, it's possible. What is the wajib of him? Go and marry. Yeah? There's no remedy for this that is better than marriage. Nothing works more than the marriage. Even fasting doesn't work more than the marriage. That's why Rasulullah said, "Fanit is a wish." Only if he cannot afford marriage, then he goes for fasting, right? Ibn Qayyim, I guess he will talk about this in the future. But the best remedy is marriage. The best remedy is marriage. One of the Khalifa, one of the Khulafa, when he hears the word of his slave, which it will come here, which we will never dare to read it here in this place, but when he hears that the slave, they were exchanging letters between them. SubhanAllah. Qadir, Umur Qadir, they are mentioning those things. When the Khalifa hears the thing, if I'm not mistaken, he just bring them and get them married. Yeah. And he also, they mentioned that he has interest in that slave, Khalifa himself. But then when he sees the way that they are describing each other, he just let them marry. Because there is no any other way to for the problem to be fixed except in this way. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and protect us from any evil love. قَالَ فَعَلَيْهِ كِتْمَانُ ذَلِكَ. So it is wajib upon him to hide that, not to show anyone. وَاللَّا يَفْشِهُ إِلْ خَلْقِ لَا يَشَيِّبَ وَيُشَبِّبَ بِمَحْبُوبِهِ وَيَحْتِكَهُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فَيَجْمَعْ بَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالظُّلْمِ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَنْوَاعِ الظُّلْمِ. He says he should hide it. He shouldn't expose this to others. In the way, he will embarrass and tarnish the image of that person whom he loves. If he does that, then he is combined between shirk that we mentioned, that ish lead to shirk, and zulm, an oppression also. Both are oppression, the shirk and this one. So, because oppression in this regard is one of the greatest oppression. Ibn Qayyim will take time explaining why did he say oppression in this regard is very bad. وربما كان أعظم ضررا على المعشوق وأهله. It is sometimes it even worse in terms of harm to the ma'shuq. Ma'shuq is the person who is loved. وأهله and his families. إن ظلمه في ماله. It's better to take his wealth, take his money, take his property than this. يوالله. فإنه يعرض المعشوق بهتكه في عيشه في عشقه إلى وقوع الناس فيه وانقسامهم إلى مصدق ومكذب. So when that person doesn't hide it and he let people know about that, and now people are going to accuse who? The ma'shuq. Because they will never trust him if he says he doesn't know what is going on. That's why Ibn Qayyim says even sometimes if people see them, even if they meet coincidentally, people have translation for that. But they're not thinking of anything. They don't even know each other. You know, they met coincidentally. And people have different thoughts. So what do you think if he is to inform people that this is my ma'shuq? Everyone knows that he reached the peak of ishq and junoon. And he said, this is the one that I have ishq towards him. So he said he might destroy his life and make him embarrassed, you know, and tarnish his image. And invite the criticism and accusation against him from the people, because people will be divided into musaddiq and mukaddib. Somebody will agree that yes, he is also involved, and somebody will not agree. Yeah. Imagine a life like this. So you're going to destroy the image of that person in the community. Most of the people actually agree, you know, and accept information in this regard, atna shubha. Any shubha that exists, people just trust. Yeah. Most of the people trust information that comes in this regard. When it comes to Bab al-Ishq and love and hub, people, any shubha that they see, they trust that shubha, and they judge based on it. It's wrong, because in Islam, we cannot judge like that. We have to verify first to see who's right, who's wrong. But this is not how people are living. We have to understand that. That's why Ibn Qayyim says, what he do, he should hide it. قَالَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ فُلَانٌ فَعَلَ بِفُلَانٍ أَوْ بِفُلَانَةٍ كَذَّبَهُ وَاحِدٌ وَصَدَّقَهُ تِسَعَةٍ وَتِسْعُونَ. He says, تِسْعَةٍ وَتِسْعَةٍ وَتِسْعُونَ. He says, if somebody says, I did this with that, or somebody did this with this person, you will find one person saying, no, this is not true. But 999 will say, yes, this is true. You get it? 999 will agree. Only one will say, no, we don't agree. What does that one do, you know, in helping that ma'shuq for that person? المتهتك عند الناس في هذا الباب يفيد القطع اليقيني. And people, unfortunately, they look at the statement, the information being provided by the ashiq, you know, the one who is doing the ishq, they look at it as a very strong definitive information which cannot be rejected. بل أخبرهم المفعول به عن نفسه كذبا وافتراء على غيره جزموا بصدقه جزما لا يحتمل النقيض. If the one that they did something, you know, because the ishq at the end of the day, it leads to evil, right? If the one that the evil was done on him or her, if she says this person did, or he says this person that, how many people reject this? Only a few. Most of the people will accept it, will take it as the truth. Kayfa wa kalki, they'll tell you, no, what do you think? She said, and he said, it happens on him, he should know better. So that's the norm in the community. But لو جمعهما مكان واحد اتفاقا, even if they are to meet in one place, اتفاقا. اتفاقا means coincidentally. Yeah, if they are to meet coincidentally, people will say, yeah, there is something going on between them. جزم أن ذلك عن وعد واتفاق بينهما. People are going to make conclusion. They agree. Actually, this is an appointment, you know, between them. An agreement between them to come and meet in this place. And subhanAllah, they met just like that. But people will believe that, no, this is an agreement, which is, what do you call, agreed upon by both of them earlier. وَجَزْمُهُمْ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ عَلَى الظُّنُونِ وَالتَّخَيُّلِ وَالشُّبَهِ وَالْأَوْهَامِ وَالْأَخْبَارِ الْكَاذِبَةِ كَجَزْمِهِمْ بِالْحِسِّيَّاتِ الْمُشَاهَدَةِ سُبْحَانَاللَّهِ. And sometimes they might be having assurance and certainty on something which is none other than speculations, you know, awham, and doubtful things and doubtful matters. They don't have any reality, you know, assumptions, but they believe in it, you know. And also sometimes these are false information being provided by that party, but this thing, they believe in it just like the way they believe in things they see in front of them. Okay, we're talking about how people are doing things, right? Yeah, we also need to understand this, you know, because sometimes we might say no, but they shouldn't, but then they are doing. It's a good idea. There are a lot of things which are happening in the community which are injustice and wrong. So a person might say, but they shouldn't do. We say, yes, you are right, they shouldn't do, but they are doing. What does that mean? We should take precaution, right? Because the community are not going to think in our own way, right? They think in the way they, the cultural practice and the custom and the norm. For instance, what is the age limit for marriage for the brothers? Can you please help me with that? It's too cold. It's too cold in my leg. Right. What is the age limit for?
18.
The maximum for the brothers. No maximum. Are you sure? Maximum 17. I thought 17. I said I would never go to Thailand. You also migrate. Come and stay in Malaysia forever. No limits, right? What is the age limit for a woman? 25. Customer, according to the custom in many places, yeah, there are some cultures which sister don't marry until she is 30, actually. It's very normal. But the vast majority, the age limit is what? 25. After 25, the chances she has of getting somebody according to her choice reduce to the lowest level. Because most of the people will not have interest to go for it. Justice or injustice? Injustice. However, this is what people are doing in the community. What can we do? And we tell people, be careful. Don't take the justice. Go with the norm. Right? Be on the safe side. Don't pass. Don't reach this age. Otherwise, you will cry in the way some people cry. I have a book called Al-Unusa. Al-Unusa is reaching the age limit of marriage and passing that age. You hear a lot of stories said by the people who are eyewitnesses concerning people who don't take this advice that I've mentioned. They delay up to the moment they want, and they pay the price in the future. Is that clear? Yes. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes we consider something as injustice, and it is injustice and unfair. But the community we are living in is not for this. It's for something else. So what do? We take precaution, right? We take precaution. Until the time things change and justice comes, then we can play around. We can live in the way we want. Exactly, inshallah. So, يقول المؤلف هنا, يقول وبذلك وقع أهل الإفك في الطيبة المطيبة. الله أكبر. He said, this is the reason why, because of this behavior and the attitude of the community, that's why people trust that Aisha commits zina. According to Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, whoever says Aisha commits zina is kafir. Goes out of Islam. Kufr mubin an lillah. It takes him out of Islam. Why? Because Allah sent down the Quran threatening those people who said that. So if he says Aisha commits zina, radiallahu anha, he's criticizing who? Rabbul Alameen. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbul Alameen, in top of all. And going against Allah SWT intentionally is kufr. Yeah, intentionally means somebody believes that, yes, he has to go against it. Rajul, Allah SWT says this is haram and this is wrong. He says, no, to me it's true. We tell him, then you are not with us. Yeah. If he's not with us, he's with them. You get an idea. So Aisha, she has this. You might not apply the same thing with other companions, but with Aisha in particular, if somebody accuses her of committing zina, he goes out of Islam. Get the idea. But the question is, why did some companions agree with that? Yeah, what Ibn Qayyim is mentioning now. And the community usually turn to trust. To trust the statement of somebody who says somebody did something wrong. If it is related to zina and homosexuality and law, usually people tend to trust more than those who will deny. That's why you find even some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ agree or not agree. Agree with that. Yeah, like Hassan ibn Thabit, Mistah, and Hamna bint Jahsh, Zainab's sister. Yeah, those one they agree, and they were Muslimin. One of them is even one of the people who went to Badr. Right? Mr. went to Badr. Yeah. And he agrees. And he's also a family member of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That's why Abu Bakr said, I will never give him food again. Because he's dependent on Abu Bakr, and usually we defend our family. We didn't expose anything wrong from our family. The one who does that is called the youth. Ma aksaruhum. How many of the youth we have nowadays? Allah. When you expose your family to evil, then you are called Islamically the youth, one of the worst among the creation of Allah. So he says, these people, they accuse Aisha radiallahu anha because of this. Allah says, Al-Khabithatu Al-Khabithina Wal-Khabithun Al-Khabithatu Al-Tayyibatu Al-Tayyibina Wal-Tayyibun Al-Tayyibat. And who is the first person to be involved in this second part of the ayah? Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah will never agree with her to be the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except if she is tayyib. And even send her to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. The dream used to come with a picture of Aisha in a piece of cloth, and he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is your wife. Rasulullah says he doesn't know her. So he does not know who is she. Until the time he married her, then he compared those images that he used to see from Jibreel. And with the image of Aisha, he understands that, yeah, this is the one that you will always tell him. SubhanAllah. Manqaba. Ma mithluha manqaba. Even before the marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that this is going to be your wife. Habibatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Khadija radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, he said, yes. Man ahabbu an-nas ilayk? Qala Aisha. So the love is going around her house, either Aisha or her father. Al-mubarra'atu min fawqi sab'i samawat. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freed from any accusation from sab'i samawat. About the sab'i samawat. So people accuse Aisha bituhmati wa maji'i Safwan ibn Mu'attalin biha. What did he do? Nothing. Even talking, he did not even say, oh, this is the closest wife to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is an opportunity for me to pick questions, which he might know. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. He can say that this is an opportunity to ask Aisha because he doesn't see her that much, and he will not be able to see her. So he doesn't do that. Aisha said she was there sleeping, and her face is uncovered. And then when Safwan came, he see her because he used to see her before the hijab. The moment he saw her, he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Zawjatu Rasulillah. So she woke up because of this istirja. So she quickly covered her face. And then he did not add a single word. He couldn't even have asked her, "Why are you here? Where is everyone? How did they leave you here?" He did not ask all of these. He already knows that that was the mistake that happened. And it is his responsibility to take care of the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. Some said he used to sleep a lot. And he used to sleep purposely. You know, so that he will come after the Jaish to see maybe somebody left something. He bring it back to Medina to them. This time around he found the most important missing property, you know? Not property, astaghfirullah, missing person. And that was Aisha radiallahu anha. So the only thing he said was Zawjatu Rasulullah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wife of Rasulullah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then he indicated to the camel to go down. So the camel went down. She understood the message. She went on top. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. So she understood the message. She went on top of the camel. And he pulled the rope. The camel followed them to Medina. Usually the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yu'arris, ta'arris, is to take rest before entering the city. When he comes back from battle, he will stay first out of Medina and relax and send somebody inside Medina to tell everyone that we are on the way back. And this is good and very important for the married people, right? Those who are not married, who cares? They can go anytime they want, night, day, night. But for the married people, their family need to know they are on the way back. Is it important? Yes, it is. It is very important, actually. Because for sure you have things which you don't like, which are halal. Your wife loves them. She takes the opportunity of you not being there to do them at home because you do not tell her it is haram. Sure, she enjoys her life when you're not around. So you're going to come back to the house, you know, in that way without informing her, and then you will see her in the way you don't like. You will see things which you don't like. What happens after that? Trust me, it might lead to separation, talaq. You know, and hatred between you and her and clashes. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nobody should come back to the family. La yatruk ahadukum ahlahu laylan. Said he should come in the daytime and send somebody also to inform them. Let them know that you're coming back. Yeah, let you're coming back. And he mentioned the purpose, which I just mentioned to you, so that the wife will be ready for the husband to come and meet the house in the way he wants to see the house. Exactly, inshallah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that. While he was waiting, Safwan already reached the place. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not wait, then the issue might be easier. Yeah, because people get separated. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he couldn't find Aisha, he might just come back and go to the place by himself and look for her. And then come back. Yeah. The news is going to reach people, but it will not be as worse as it is. But Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam planned something, which is he wants to see who deal with information like this in the correct way and who will not deal with it. And also to expose the enemy to us. And he makes us as a test. the believers and to teach us also a lesson how to deal with matters like that. You get the idea? So when they saw him, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was already actually annoyed because of the events that took place during that battle. When he saw that, he was so happy that this is the biggest chance for him to tarnish the image of who? Aisha or Rasulullah? Rasulullah. He doesn't care about Aisha. He cares about Rasulullah. Because he knows that when he touched the wife of a person, he is touching that person, not the wife. The person, a woman is married and somebody accused and criticized the wife, is accusing that person directly. So the target was Rasulullah, not his wife. Get an idea? But he found opportunity and a chance which has been opened for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that as a test. It wasn't coincidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this is going to take place. Qadar. You know? Hatta yahsul at-tamhis. So you find the Muslim community are divided into how many categories? Three, yeah, or four categories. Those who get involved and those who are neutral. Who said? This is false and this is lying. Yeah. Those who are neutral, they don't say anything. They keep quiet. And those who agree. And those who said no, this is false. Like Ali ibn Abi Talib, Samar ibn Zayd, Zainab bint Jahsh, the brother of Aisha, you know, like the maid of Aisha radiallahu anha, like Abu Ayyub ibn al-Ansari. Yeah, those ones we got information that are confirmed to us that they mentioned, they talk, that this is nonsense and this is false. And you have some who agree, you know, and you have some who promote, you have some who agree and promote the accusation. And you have the middle ones who keep quiet. Who are blamed among them? The only one who is praised is the one that voice out and say this is wrong. Yeah. The one that says this is wrong. Silent people also are blamed. You get the idea? Yeah, the silent people. Most of the companions of the Prophet are on the opposite side. That this is wrong. This is wrong. This is just from the munafiqeen. However, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us hear about their rejection are those one that they narrated the event, or somebody narrated about them. But others, not because they don't mention it, doesn't mean they don't go against it. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, the shubhati manji is of one Ibn Mu'abdalin biha wahdahu khalf al-askari. Just because they saw him with Aisha behind the jaysh, behind the army, they agree or not agree? They agree. Waliyadu billah. They agree with the claim by the munafiqeen that he committed zina with her. Waliyadu billah. Hatta halaka man halaka. Walawla an tawalla Allahu bara'ataha wa dhabba anha wa takdhiba qadhifaha la kana amran akhar. Iwallah. If not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interferes, he tested people first so that we can see who's the enemy and who's not. And that was a very big test for Aisha. How old is she? 60 years old? Huh? Yeah. Even when the Prophet ﷺ died, she was 18. Right. That's very young. Yeah. So she was 11 or something. I mean, because the maid says, Aisha, what kind of aqal is this to accuse this little girl? This one does nothing except to play with her toys, you know, with her sand, you know. And referring to that, the mental, you know, disease, you know, those guys have. How can you accuse a girl like this? You're accusing a big woman, we can understand. That is wrong, right? But we can understand that she's big. The possibility of her doing it is always there. But this little, in their time also, they don't have YouTube and Facebook, so. You get what I'm talking about? So it's too far to have this claim. Very far. But subhanAllah, they did. Because they don't follow the correct method of accusation and criticism, which is to do it after verification, right? You verify. And subhanAllah, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just by remembering that this is the wife of Rasulullah, is enough for a person to stay away from any accusation. But unfortunately, they did not. They share the message amongst themselves the moment they receive that message. They do not even digest the message, them to see whether it is true or wrong. So Ibn Qayyim says, if not, because of the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interferes. And he defended Aisha radiallahu anha and told us that those people are pious who accuse Aisha lakan amrun akhar. There's going to be something else. Imagine if it is, the issue is silent and quiet. These Shia people, they will raise up their head a lot. Raise up their head a lot. And at that time, you have even some companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also having doubts, right? And those who talk among them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the head of qadh against them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us. So all of these, Ibn al-Qayyim is bringing them to tell us that these matters, once accusation happens, it is not easy to stop it. قَالَ وَالْمَقْسُودُ أَنَّ فِي إِظْهَارِ مُبْتَلَى إِشْقَاءَ مَنْ لَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ وَالْإِتِصَالَ بِهِ مِنْ ظُلْمِهِ وَآذَاهُ مَا هُوَ عُدْوَانٌ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى أَهْلِهِ وَتَعَارِيضٌ لِتَصْدِيقِ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ ظُلُونَهُمْ فِيهِ. He says, what I wanted to say here, the maqsood, the reason why I'm bringing all of these is to let you know that if the mubtala, who is the mubtala? The one who is tested with the ishq, or both, let's say the other one that the ishq was done on him, if he also has the same feeling, whoever amongst them exposes what he is going through, you know, this, what you call bringing this thing out to the community contains dhul, oppression, and also harm to the other one who is innocent, or might be innocent. You get the idea. So that's why he said, the one who is tested with ishq has to hide it. Because if he exposes it, then people are going to trust what he is saying, even if he's lying. And if they have bad thought, you know, negative thought against somebody, which is based on dhunun, speculations, they're not sure. But if that person is going to talk about the matter, then they will trust. So Ibn al-Qayyim says he should hide it and not to expose it. قَالَ فَإِنْ اسْتَعَانَ عَلَيْهِ بِمَنْ يَسْتَمِيلُهُ إِلَيْهِ إِمَّا بِرَغْبَةٍ أَوْ بِرَحْبَةٍ تَعَدَّ الظُّلْمُ وَانْتَشَهَرُ. This person wants to reach this person, but he couldn't go. He couldn't reach that person. Because he talked to her, he talked to him, but the guy doesn't want to agree. So what does he do? He brings a middleman. And this middleman is somebody who has the power to bring him to that person. Might be from the family members or somebody who has authority that he can bring him. That's why he says the full noun is going to be transitive, meaning moving from this level to another level bigger than the one we just mentioned. If that wasita, the middleman, is a family member, then he will be called the youth. Who is the youth? Somebody who brings evil to the family. Right? Because sometimes they use a family member to bring that person closer. So now the evil is bigger, right? Because they're using somebody to remove that natural protection the person has, you know, to make it hush so that this person can be, can easily reach whatever he wants. قَالَ وَإِذَا كَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَلَّعَنَ الرَّائِشَ وَهُوَ الْوَاسِطَةُ بَيْنَ الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي فِي إِصَالِ الرِّشْوَةِ فَمَا ظَنُّكَ بِالْدِّيُوثِ الْوَاسِطَةُ بَيْنَ الْعَاشِقِ وَالْمَعْشُوقِ فِي الْوَصْلَةِ الْمُحَرَّمَةِ. He says, if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed Ar-Ra'ish. Who is Ra'ish? The one who gives rashwa, right? Wal-Murtashi, the one who takes the rashwa, right? Ar-Rashi wal-Murtashi. What is rashwa? Bribe, right? Both of them are cursed by the Prophet. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ar-Rashi wal-Murtashi. These people are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala fama dhannuka bi an this Rashi. الرائش وهو الواسطة بين الرائش is the واسطة بين الرائش والمرتشي. Rashi, the one who gives Kalima, the bribe, and you have Wal Murtashi, the one who accepted. And Ra'ish, they interpreted that as the wasit between Rashi Wal Murtashi, the middleman. You don't go directly, but you have somebody that you pass the rishwa, he goes and gives it in secret to that person. This one is cursed. And it's just a connector in doing this type of corruption in the community. You see, what do you think this situation in Sharia would be? You know, in the case of somebody who is the middleman, in linking two people, you know, in order to do something that is haram. You know, this haram is fahisha. Yeah, because this one destroys the essence of the family in a community. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. The evil that contains in the zina is all of those, which one and the other forms of transaction that are legal. قَالَ فَيَتَسَاعَدُ الْعَاشِقُ وَالدَّيُّثُ عَلَى الظُّلْمِ الْمَعْشُوقِ وَظُلْمِ غَيْرِهِ مِمَّنْ يتوقف حصول غرضه على ظلمه في نفس أو مال أو عوض، فإنه كثيرا ما يتوقف المطلوب فيه على قتل نفس تكون حياتها مانعة من أمر الدين. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, فيتساعد العاشق والديوث على ظلم المعشوق وظلم غيره. ويتوقف حصول غرضه على ظلمه في نفسه أو مال أو عوض. نصحة.
في نفس أو مال أو عوض.
بدل من عندي كذلك عرض. I said عوض. أنا غلط. وعرض. شكرا. So he says it is going to, they are going to, you know, cooperate with each other, you know, the Ashik and the youth. Alazulbin Mashu, a person, that person who is Mashu, you know, and he's innocent at the same time, but they support and help each other to reach, as he says, yasta'inu biman yastamidu. And subhanAllah, and sometimes this will be the deprivation, you know, of that mashruq from getting so many masalih that he's supposed to be getting. So that ta'awun al al-ifn might lead to deprivation of so many things that the mashruq might be getting. وَلِيَاذِ بِاللَّهِ قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ كَثِيرًا مَا يَتْوَقَّفُ الْمَطْلُوبُ فِيهِ عَلَى قَتْلِ نَفْسٍ تكون حياتها مانعة من غرضه. You know, he says that many times this will be dependent on قتل نفس, you know, assassination and killing that soul, that the life of that soul is the deprivation from reaching whatever he is looking for. قال وكم من قتيل طل دمه بهذا السبب من زوج وسيد وقريب. You Allah. You know, sometimes a person might lose his life because of this accusation. He says, وَمَنْ وَكَمْ مِنْ قَتِيلٍ طُلَّ دَمُهُ. طُلَّ دَمُهُ أي أُهْدِرَ دَمُهُ. How many times you see a qatil, a person who is killed, and the blood is legalized. The blood of this person is legalized. He has a sabab because of this. مِنْ زَوْجٍ وَسَيِّدٍ قَرِيبٍ. That he's a spouse or a master that is closer to that person. وَكَمْ حُبِّبَ. This is not حُبِّبَ. For those of you who have حُبِّبَ, it's wrong. It's حُبِّبَ with ha. And with me also is حُبِّبَ, but it's حُبِّبَ. مِنْ تَخْبِيبِ الْمَرْأَةِ عَلَى زَوْجِهَا. What does that mean? إِفْسَادُ الْمَرْأَةِ عَلَى زَوْجِهَا. Yeah, to destroy woman against her wife. وَكَمْ خُبِّبَ إِمْرَأَةٌ عَلَى بَعْلِهَا وَجَارِيَةٌ وَعَبْدٌ عَلَى سَيِّدِهِمَا. You know, how many times because of this accusation, an evil cooperation. You have a person hating his wife, you know, and destroying the wife, you know, against the husband, and also Jariya is being taken from the Sayyid, you know, and also a slave being taken from the Sayyid. وقد لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من فعل ذلك وتبرأ منه لعن الله من خبب امرأة على زوجها أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the person who destroyed the wife against the husband. Meaning anyone who goes and tell the wife something which will cause the destruction of that marriage and bring a relationship between the husband and his wife. Who min akbar al-kabair. This is one of the greatest sin. So when a person sees that, what is he supposed to do? When a person have this, he's supposed to hide it. You know, imagine somebody has a wife and another person loves that wife. Is it halal for him to reach her? No, Shaban is impossible for him to reach her. He talked about this to others, that he has a lot of affection to her. And trust me, people will believe. And we start thinking that this woman, she's doing something. Otherwise, why is he doing this and that? You get the idea? That's why from the sister side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to do what? To lower their voice and to talk normally, right? When a person comes to the house looking for the owner of the house, the husband, he is not around. Can the wife reply to him and tell him he's not around? Yes, she can do. But she just have to talk in the normal, right? No need to be harsh. He's not around. No need to be like that, but just talk normal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. You have some people who have disease in their heart. If she is to talk in this way, trust me, you have something in this. Although she has a husband, but he will start thinking, it's a nufus. No. Allah, if this can happen to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you think about others? Right? He says to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. قَالَ وَإِذَا كَانَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم قَدْ نَهَى أَنْ يَخْطِبَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى خِطْبَةِ أَخِيهِ. What is the khitbah here? Is it khutbah or khitbah? Khutbah, right? No. It's khitbah. Khutbah is Imam قال الله. This one is khitbah. Khitbah bi al-kasr. So يَخْطِبَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى خِطْبَةِ أَخِيهِ. What is khitbah? Proposal of or engagement, right? What is engagement? Huh? Who promised? You promised to marry somebody. You promised the parents. Is it engagement? This one? Just promise the parents you will marry, does it? When they agree, I want that agreement. When they agree, yeah. That's why Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani says, وَذَلِكَ إِذَا رَكَّنَا وَتَقَارَبَ. Yusuf goes, happy. And then the family says, yes, Yusuf, we agree to give you. Yeah. And then they told the girl, you want him? She said, yes. And then after that, it's haram for Abdurrahman to go. Sorry, Abdurrahman. You lost the debate. It's haram for him to go. It's haram for Mazin. It's haram for everyone to go. You get it? So this, it is impermissible for them to propose. Because trust me, if they go, they might go having something which Yusuf doesn't have. He went to the house of the family with him. Mazin went with Rolls Royce. Yeah, some cars like that, you know. He went to that house with that one. What do you think will happen to Yusuf the next time he goes to the house? You tell him, excuse me, who are you? who are you looking for here? We'll be trying to convince them that he was there yesterday. They will tell him, we can't remember that. Inshallah, people think maybe you met somebody else, not us. So that's why it's haram for somebody to go after the agreement took place with another person. So that's the meaning of Naha Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Yakhtib al-Rajul ala Khidmat Akhi. But that's when they accept him. They said, except in one situation, which is when Yusuf Tanazal. So Mazen can go to him and tell him, Yusuf, wallahi, you see, honestly speaking, this girl is coming from very important house. She fits me, not you. And as such, I really advise you to step aside. Let me go first. I promise to look for somebody that fits your level. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But if he is to go to Yusuf and tell him, Yusuf, please, can you just step aside? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Is it a good application of the hadith? The Ramadan says yes. Anyway, so if he wants to go, he has to go and take his permission first, which he will never agree, right? Rarely to have this person agree, even if this person is his father. Yeah. They mentioned one of the companions was looking for a woman to marry her, and his son also wants. Both of them are fighting. In the family, they give the father. If I'm not mistaken, that was Umar radiallahu anhu. Wallahu alam, I can't remember the story. But anyway, so he can only go when he takes the permission from that person. Or when the family, if they want to accept the second one, if let's say he doesn't know, he went and proposed, he doesn't know, and the family wants to accept him, they cannot tell the second one, we accept you. They have to cancel first with the first one. They have to call it because it is not a must for them to go. They can cancel. So they can go to the first one and tell him that we have some issues with continuing with this proposal. We really apologize. It's wrong for them to do that, but if they do, it's okay. They can go and look for anybody else if that second person doesn't do. So the Prophet ﷺ نهى أن يخطب الرجل على خطبة أخيه أو أن يستام على صوم أخيه. What is صوم? Here he's talking about al-bay, right? Business, right? In Bab al-Zakah, al-Sawm means grazing, right? Taking your animal to go and eat from the grass by themselves. قَالَ فَكَيْفَ بِمَا. So this one also is wrong. If let's say Abdurrahman bought something from the Mazin, a book, that would do 50 ringgit. I cannot go and tell Abdurrahman, don't buy it from him. I will provide you with that with dawa, 30 ringgit. It's haram. As long as they agree to sell and to buy, then it's haram for anyone to propose any other price. Right? Even if you're giving him cheaper than that. Good idea? We cannot do. We cannot sell if our brother already, sold his item. We cannot introduce ours. Yeah, you get this one, right? And the same goes to buying. لا يسوم على صوم أخيه كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, فكيف بمن سعى في التفريق بين رجل وبين امرأته وآمته حتى يصل يتصل بهما. He said, what do you think? If Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, you know, these people, they do not even marry yet, right? But if you go and interfere and then you separate between them, you get into trouble with the Sharia. And they are not even husband and wife. Right? The khatib, the person who proposed, is he her husband? No. But Sharia says if you are to separate, as long as the family agree with him, if you are to cut off that agreement and destroy it, you will be in trouble with Sharia. What do you think about somebody who does everything possible to separate between the husband and the wife, or the Sayyid and his slave? Do you get what he's trying to say? So anything that a person is going to be doing as a middleman, which will lead to destroying the image of a Muslim in this regard is rejected, and it's haram, and it's considered as oppression in Islam. So that's why taking precaution is good. And what Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, if there is anyone in this life of ours who has this, the wajib upon him is to hide it and to try his best. If that can lead to leaving that country, wallahi, it's better for him to leave the country. Yeah, because we don't know what will happen. Yeah, we don't know what will happen. Yeah, many people got destroyed and they were righteous before, especially from the sister's side. Yeah? We have facts on this. People who confess, and they corrupt people who are decent and righteous. They drag them to the trap until the time they get destroyed. And they became a member of corruption, and they continue to be like that. So that's why I said it's worth running away from that country if a person has edge towards another person that he knows he cannot reach out. It's better for him to leave the place if he cannot control his love. Because we don't know where is it going to end. قال وعشاق الصور ومساعده من الديثة لا يرون ذلك ذنبا فإن طلب ذلك العاشق وصل معشوقه ومشاركة الزوج والسيد في ذلك قال فإن طلب ذلك العاشق وصل معشوقه ومشاركة الزوج والسيدة لذلك من إثم ظلم الغير ما لعله لا يقتصر عن إثم الفاحشة إن لم يربو عليها. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, وعشاق الصور, those people who have عشق to images, right? Images, not necessarily pictures like our time. They don't have those ones that much. They're talking about the real image of a person that he sees and he can't control his desire. ومساعدهم, and those helpers, those who are helping them from the diyasa. Diyasa is the plural of the youth, right? لا يرون ذلك ذنبا. They might not see that as something wrong, unfortunately. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, فَإِنَّ طَلَبَ ذَلِكَ الْعَاشِقُ وَصْلَ مَعْشُوقِهِ ومشاركة الزوج والسيد في ذلك من إثم ظلم غير ما لعله لا يقتصر على إثم الفاحشة إن لم يربو عليها. Ibn al-Qayyim says that attitude and the behavior that this guy is trying to do to connect and link somebody to that ma'shuq, which they might be attached to somebody because she might be zawja, she might be a slave of somebody. You know, he said the sin of that might go, it goes beyond, you know, the sin of the fahisha. You know, sometimes it reached the sin of the similar to the sin of fahisha or even greater than that. And this is what Ibn al-Qayyim will try to establish. Why did he say sometimes it might be greater than the sin of al-fahisha? So inshallah, in the next dars, we will address this matter bi-idhnillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. That's why lowering the gaze is necessary, right? The gaze is necessary because sometimes you might see something that you cannot be patient. And you cannot be patient and you cannot reach. It's what the poet says. He says, sometimes you might see something that you cannot be patient, you know, to stay away from it. And also at the same time, you cannot reach it. Yeah, it will be a tragedy and you will punish yourself. You will be in adab, as Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned earlier. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum.
He said that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz removed the corruption within the Khilafah within 2 years.
Yes.
So when this was said, was it spiritual corruption or corruption in the government?
Which one is?
When Umar ibn Abdulaziz, we
said that he removed the corruption within the Khilafah in 2 years. So was this spiritual corruption or government corruption?
Government corruption and the societal corruption that exists in the society. If you come to the society, you will understand that, yes, there is Islam in a place. And people are decent, business is there. People are righteous, more than the wrongdoers. You might live in a place where you don't see things being exposed. But we don't claim that people are not committing sin in secret. But this one, we don't care about them that much, because that between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What worries us is the sins being committed by the people in public. So Umar ibn Abdulaziz, he fought the corruption in the government, because if the government is fixed, the community will be fixed. Yeah, so he stopped the ritual. He get it completely out of the government. And he stopped oppression. Nobody is oppressed. Promote knowledge and scholarship and seeking the knowledge. And also granted tarbiyah, you know, to the community. The way people became decent and also satisfied with the little they have. So life became in his time similar to the life in the time of the Khulafa al-Rashidi or the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why people take it as a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this ummah. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he was asked about the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La ya'ti zamanun illa walladhi ba'dahu sharru minhu." So there will be no time except that the time that will come after it will be worse. Hatta talqaw rabbakum. And this is in his reply to the complaint he mentioned about Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Anas was mentioning this in reply to the complaint. People are mentioning about Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, that they're living a very tough life with him. So Anas ibn Malik told them, please maximize your pay. Yeah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any time that comes, the one that will come afterward will be worse. Until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, I heard that from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hasan al-Basri was asked, how come we have the time of Umar ibn Abdulaziz? The previous time before him were corrupt government, but his time is good. It was supposed to be worse. This is how it kept him going, worse. When Sulaiman ibn Abdulmalik came, life started becoming a bit better. Right? Come back to righteousness, injustice reduced, but still there. And then he appointed Umar ibn Abdulaziz before death to succeed him. And Umar ibn Abdulaziz was very serious, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed that page of the Ummah within the period of 2 years. So when they ask Hasan al-Basri how, he says, no, there is a system in this life which says that لَابُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ زَمَانٍ يَتَنَفَّسُونَ فِيهِ. He says, in this system, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make it like this to continue in one way. He grants people time to breathe. The one who will reflect will reflect. The one who doesn't want to reflect will remain tragic. But Allah will give us a time to reflect first. You know, when that time comes, it's enough for everyone to reflect and come back to righteousness. Then Allah will keep the good thing for us. So this is what happened exactly. People are living a very terrible life. Very terrible life. Religiously and dunya-wise also. Because even the prayer time was distorted in that time. Yeah. In many instances, they even killed the prayer time. So when Umar ibn Abdulaziz came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a chance with him, you know, to see the good side of life, which is life according to the sunnah and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone enjoy, kuffar enjoy, people enjoy, business people enjoy, everyone enjoy. Right. If I say the only one who is not resting was Umar ibn Abdulaziz. That man doesn't rest. And subhanAllah, he worries so much. His wife, Fatima bint, who was the wife? Bint Abdul Malik. And that's why they said the world has never saw a sister like her in terms of dunya. Because her father is Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, he was a Khalifa. And they said four of her brothers, siblings, they are Khulafa. And her husband is Khalifa. Father is Khalifa. Siblings are Khulafa. So she's surrounded by, you know, life of, affluent kind of life. SubhanAllah, she agrees to stay with Umar ibn Abdulaziz, living in that life, even to have one dirham to buy grapes they don't have. And before they were not like that. Before he was very rich. Very rich. So she knows how life was with him before. But then he gave a choice. He said, I decided to live not like this. If you agree to stay with me, come, let's go. She said, no problem. And she lived with him like that. So she said, I never saw somebody like him. And she mentioned that there was a time he just came back home and lied down to sleep, and he started crying. She thought there's something very big happened to him. She asked him, what really happened? He said, I'm very sorry. I just put myself down on the bed. I remember the day Allah SWT is going to bring me and ask me about this one that I'm leading. The person who's like this, how did that happen? He said, I pity myself, I cry. Because I couldn't have any excuse to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. He said the good ones with all the thing he did, but he still worries so much that he's going to get when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who cares about this now? What we worry about is how to keep our kursi. The past days run away from it. In our time, we fight. We will kill each other actually for this heavy responsibility, which person will pay the price when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? So this time, this kind of moment and opportunity is given to the people by Allah so that we will be able to reflect. We grant you ability and chance to see what are you going to do now. Before you used to say that, no, we don't have time, we don't have authority, we don't have this and that, but now Allah SWT grants you authority to see who are you going to be. So that's exactly what happened in terms of this curb and cut up corruption in all of its forms. Obviously the one that he can see, not the one that is being practiced in secret. And even that one, we believe it is at the minimum, very minimum. Because usually what we see on the street is the same behavior usually people have when they are away from the street. Yeah, because Omar doesn't use force. He uses the tarbiyah more than the force. Yeah. That's why when the governor in Mosul sent him a letter and he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, people here, they steal a lot. And I don't think cutting off the hand of the thieves in that case will work. He told him, what are you going to do? He said, I just want your permission so that I can increase. On top of cutting off the hand, I bring some other punishment. Umar bin Abdulaziz told him, Allah did not send you for this. Allah sent you to apply what he says. Just cut off the hand of somebody who is confirmed to steal something from somebody. And does it. Do not add. And subhanAllah, they say within the period of that 2 years, that governor witnessed a time that there was nobody who stayed in that place. And that's the power of restricting yourself to that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. They came to Umar ibn Abdulaziz, they said, Qalla baytul mal. There is no money in the baytul mal. We have little money. Why? Because the previous government, if a person accepts Islam, they still take jizya from him. That's why people don't want to accept Islam. Even if he accepts Islam, they still accept jizya from him. So when Umar ibn Abdulaziz came, he said, no, this is not our religion. You accept Islam, no jizya. Because jizya is not taken from a Muslim. So people kept on accepting Islam also. But no money came. So they got annoyed, the governors. They came and they told him that we don't have money. The government is going out of money, going to get broke. He told them, Maqulat wal Mashura. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lam yakum jubatan, wa innama ba'athakum hudatan. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send you as money collectors. He sent you as guiders, people who know this. If you accept Islam, we're going to circumcise you right now. So people don't want to accept. They want to remain in the way they are. Umar ibn Abdulaziz says, Allah did not send you as muhtatini. Whoever does that, I'm going to put him into trouble. And subhanAllah, within a short period of time, the Baytul Mal was having excess of money. Yeah, that was the power of following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Baytul Mal was having excess of money. Allah, this is what I would say to every Muslim living in our time nowadays. It's all about patience. Just apply what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says and wait for the good result. Believe in it and apply. Trust me, I'm pretty sure you will generated have been accepted in good, inshallah. Okay, last question. Strange, Yusuf, I have no question today. The bank of As'ila intaha. Mojid, okay. يسرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة.
بارك الله فيكم شيخ. The question is, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. أحسن الله إليكم في الدنيا والآخرة. The slander of Aisha رضي الله عنها and the dispute with رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was cleared through revelation. How about if we have dispute among us, which we are unsure that we should take steps to clear the matter or not, as we are uncertain of the situation? What is the best way to address this with the other party that we have miscommunication with?
Allah says, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whatever اختلاف you have, the hukum is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either straightforward in the Quran or the Sunnah, or indirectly from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or through the ijtihad of the scholars. So this question is too general. You know, if it is a specific, I might be able to address it because every situation has its own approach, right? Yeah, every situation has its own approach. If the dispute happens, the husband is accusing the wife of committing zina, there is a way to resolve that, right? Yeah, it's not like accusing an innocent person who is not related to that person. Somebody says to a woman, she committed zina. What do we tell him? Al-bayyina wa illa haddun fi dhahrik. Give us 4 witnesses. Righteous people that we can trust, and each one of them has to come and tell us they saw both openings inside each other. They have to mention this word, which is zina, with no doubt. If you couldn't provide this, we beat him how many times? 80 times. Who do you think will come and do that? Nobody. And the honor and dignity of the people, right? This is with the normal person. However, if the husband says that his wife commits zina, this is a very sensitive matter, because the likeliness of his statement to be correct is more than the other one. Because husband, if the wife is being accused, the blame comes to him. The shame is on him actually more. That's why to see a person within his aql coming out to tell the community his wife commits zina, I'm telling you, most probably it's true. The time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it happens and the husband accused. He said, I saw with my own eyes the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not worry, you know, that much. And they don't mind to leave him continue with the oath, because they can't imagine this boy, this man lying. However, when she comes to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when she reached the oath number 5, or the statement number 5, what did they do? They stopped. Yeah, they stopped her. They told her, our dear sister, in Mujiba, this final one is the one that will confirm what you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you. So be very careful. Why didn't they stop him? They stop her. Because they cannot imagine a husband who has his aql will come and accuse his wife. Usually people defend their wife. That's why if you have a husband, a wife is in trouble with somebody, and they came to the court. Who is your witness? She said, my husband. The judge, is he going to accept that? No, never. Never trust. Because we don't experience a husband going against his wife. You get idea. But the opposite might be accepted by the judges. Anyway, so they stopped that woman and they told her, Innaha Mujiba. But subhanAllah, she was almost going to confess and say the truth, but then she said, I will not embarrass my before the rest of their life. You know? And she completed. And the Prophet said, one of you is Ahadukuma Kadibun. And subhanAllah, they found out who was lying. She was lying. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a mu'jizah. He says, if this baby comes out, please do watch him and see who does he look like. If he comes with the eyes like this, with the nose like this, with the chin like this, or the thigh like this, then he belongs to Shariq bin Sahma. That was the accused person. But if he looks like this, he looks like this, he looks like this, that's me. The husband is lying. So the companions wait. When she gave birth, they checked and they found that person is like the picture of the accused person precisely in the way Rasulullah mentioned. So Rasulullah said, if I can punish somebody without evidence, I would definitely punish this woman, but I can't Because what Allah asked her to do, she already did. And does it. She said she wants the wrath of Allah to be on her. The Prophet said, we stop here. So every case we did, according to its nature. So you can see that one, we beat him 80 times, but the husband, he has to come. And they will be separated. And according to the best opinion, it's called, they cannot meet forever. They cannot marry. When I say they cannot meet, they cannot marry forever. Even afterwards, when he comes and say, no, actually, I realize that I'm lying against her. What do we do in this case? We beat him 80 times. And we tell him, she can't go back to you. After that, then she cannot go back to you. But we have to take the law. What if she says she's lying? What do? We apply the had on her. Yeah. If she comes herself and say and confess that she is lying, then the had should be applicable on her. May Allah grant us good and protect our family.
We said that if you are offered the position of a qadi, you should reject it.
Run away.
So what is the Amir supposed to do?
And leave the country immediately, with immediate effect.
So what does the Amir do?
Then he become the judge by himself. No, at that time, if nobody wants to accept, one of them has to accept. Let's say Abdurrahman is the king, Allah Inak. I don't want to see being a leader, even in the dream. But inshallah, Abdurrahman, maybe you look like somebody who can lead. Anyway, Abdurrahman is a king, and he realized that nobody among us can judge, can be the judge in the court, except Adam. Can you run away from it? No, you can't. You have to accept. Because we don't have any other alternative. If you don't accept, they're going to give it to somebody who doesn't qualify, and problems are going to happen in the society. But if there are other options, Yusuf can do, Sheikh can do, somebody can do, you can run. And they have no right to force you. You should choose somebody else. But if all of them are running, then in this case, the imam can pick up somebody and impose it on him. And he has to take it. Yeah. Because we don't have a choice. Yeah. But it is optional. As an individual, you have to run. Yeah. You cannot handle that. Many people are you are going to kill so many people. And you're going to involve in killing people unjustly, but in your case, since you don't know, it's okay. But there will be a judgment between you and that one is going to be very annoying. I don't think anyone can handle that. All of those people that you judge between them, they will come to the day of judgment and fight you if it was injustice being placed on them. So it's very tough. The Prophet said, "Man wulli al-qada faqad zubiha bi ghayri sikkin." If you are assigned to be a judge, it's like slaughtering you without using a knife. Imagine a person, an animal, you slaughter this animal, you just use a stick. Keep on dragging the neck until you kill. How much punishment he went through. So he said, this is the likeness of him, somebody who accepts qada. That's qada in the time, right? In our time, I have like what he now. It's even useless, actually. All I'm telling you is useless. Especially if you're not on top, if you are in the court of appeal, yes, qada is good. If you can be just, it's good to be there. But to be in the lower grade court, sometimes it's useless. Because what happens is, you decide, yeah, Mazin is right. Sorry, Abdurrahman. Mazin is right and Abdurrahman is wrong. You get it? Abdurrahman believes that, and according to me, he's wrong. Abdurrahman doesn't want that. What does he do? Appeal to the high court. The high court, in that place, sometimes they're corrupt. Abdurrahman will go and pay whatever he pays. And now the case is turned upside down. Who will win the case? Yeah. This is what they told me right now. I have a brother who is a lawyer, subhanAllah. He told me all of these things because he always goes to the court. He said useless because the judge decide and the court of appeal revoke that and cancel it. That's it. You just decide and somebody will take it up and up. I like what they do in some countries without mentioning the name, but I appreciate what they do. When you take the case to the court of appeal, the court of appeal They will look into the case first. When they realize that, yes, there is something wrong in your judgment, they will not decide the case. They will take it back to your court. Please revisit the case again. So that one has to provide his evidence, his everything, and they will come. And the case has to be looked by that judge, not the court of appeal. And that's the correct way to do it.
Yeah.
Do you get it? That's the correct way. Unless if they cannot reach a conclusion, then it comes back to the court of appeal, and then they decide. Otherwise, it will keep on happening like this. I decide, Abdurrahman revoke it, and I cannot do anything. Yeah. Because my judgment is useless. Unless if the person doesn't know how to appeal. As long as he appeals, that means my judgment is useless. أقول قولي هذا.
The qada becomes binding once the qadi
judges. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah.
But he can retract it. Huh? He can retract the judgment. Of course. If he realizes that he did something wrong, that judgment was wrong, then he can retract it. He has to actually retract it. He must. Huh? If it is had, compensation has to be given. Yeah, diya has to be paid by the government. And the government, they have to sack him also for that. Why did he do that? That's why they said it is better for you to make a mistake in forgiveness, in qada, than making a mistake in establishing the had. I am wrong in establishing the had. I kill him. And then tomorrow I have an evidence that tells me that this person is innocent. How do I fix it? Even if I pay the family money, does that fix the problem? No, it doesn't. You cannot replace that loss they have. You cannot compensate it. Exactly, Yusuf. So it's better to be wrong in forgiveness. We can fix it later if it is something that could be fixed. And it's actually, even if we don't fix it, it's better to have what you call mistake in forgiveness than having a mistake. Get it? You beat him up. That was wrong. How do you fix it? Even if you pay, I will not compensate that humiliation and the beating that he received. May Allah grant us a good. So if the judge realized that he is wrong in his judgment, he has to revoke, retract that one, and cancel it, and do that. He must. Binding it on the people to accept. Yeah. So when he says, this is the qada, then it is binding upon both to accept it. Zaman faster, my time is up. I was going to say, is Aqul Qawli Hadha Yusuf brought me again.
The question is, I want to what? What Aisha Al-Qurana did to the person who accused her?
Nothing. That's Munafiqun, because those people are kuffar. Actually, they are not Muslim. They are kuffar. They just pretend to be Muslim. These are the Munafiqun in the time of Rasulullah. They are kuffar. They are not Muslim. So accusation from the munafiqeen, enemies of Islam, is understood, yeah, because they hate us. And number one, they hate is Rasulullah. Aisha did not do it. And they also don't want to target Aisha, but they're targeting Rasulullah. If they destroy the image of Rasulullah through, if they destroy the image of Aisha, they're actually destroying the image of Rasulullah, because he's living with a bad person. This is what the community will be saying. That goes to Rasulullah, not Aisha. So Aisha did not do anything to anyone. Allah grant us. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum.